My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Before making it all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. And all those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast. We want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the Splendor. The spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 447 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we have a very special guest. Jimmy and Charlotte had the pleasure of interviewing Tammy Tuckey. Tammy is an Emmy-winning filmmaker, actress. She also is a podcaster. You're going to hear some great stories about Tammy starting out when she was a teenager podcasting, and some of the interviews she's had have been incredible. The entire interview is really cool. The singing, the album, just basically everything Tammy puts her hands onto turns into gold. She's been great. So listen in. This is a great interview. Charlotte, Jimmy, take it away.
We got the show all shared out. I want to introduce our guest tonight. Interestingly enough, one of my favorite guests we've ever had on the podcast is Jerry Reese. I'm going to introduce Tammy, and then I'll tell the story. Hey,
Hi.
Tammy, how are you?
Good evening. Doing well. How are you guys?
So Tammy Tuckey is an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker, actress, podcaster, and singer. And of all those things, not to knock anything else, but your singing is amazing.
Amazing. Oh,
thank you. Thank you very much. I love to perform. So
it's I listened to your album on yesterday. But where I was going, before I brought you in, one of my favorite guests that we've ever had, and we've been doing this for 9 years, is Jerry Reese.
He's the best, isn't
and
he?
And that's how I kind of found you. And I didn't know it was you, I don't think. I didn't put two and two together till like the next day, but I saw him share your video that you had promoting the Indiegogo and the new album.
Yeah.
But then when I realized who you were, I actually, before we interviewed Jerry, had went online and kind of, I lost my camera again. What's going on here?
It's the disappearing act.
It is the disappearing act.
I don't know why. All right, let me do something different. You guys can still hear me, right?
We can still hear you. Yeah.
All right, so let me go into settings. Let me.
And Morgan, thank you. Yeah, she says that's an awesome mouthful.
It really is an awesome mouthful.
Thank you. Yeah, Jerry is, I'll stall if that's okay. Jerry, we've known each other almost for 10 years is approaching is how long I've known Jerry. And I've known him since I was like maybe 17, 18, because I started my podcast when I was 14. And I just started interviewing people, and I was always a big fan of the work he had done, and I never met the man, and I'd messaged him, and then we started, you know, this relationship and having him on my show and talking about everything he's done. So just a really lovely guy, and he has some great stories. So I'm going to have to listen to some of your conversations with him, because he always has something new.
He is truly incredible. And in my research before we interviewed him, before we interview somebody, I always like to go out and see if somebody else has interviewed him, just kind of, you know, get a feel for him and the questions you may want to ask. Or so I listened to the Tierra Talk episode, one of the ones I guess you did that you talked to Jerry, and that's kind of what I did as part of my research at the time. So that was kind of your first podcast, right? It was Tierra Talk.
Yeah, that was my first podcast. And then I kind of moved to the Tierra Talk show because I had two hosts on the first one, and we all kind of were like, we had different lives and it was so crazy. So I just continued on with the show, but I centered it more on just interviews with people we all admire, people that I admired growing up and working for Disney and as Imagineering. So he was the first one of that new show that I did. I think we did like three more after that, but we did like a different theme for each show. So the first one was Back to Neverland.
Nice.
Which was so incredible. I mean, he told us the story of that and being able to direct Robin Williams and Walter Cronkite in that. And it's just like,
he's one of the best things ever.
And he does like the best freaking impressions of them. And
he can do a good Robin Williams.
He does a fantastic Robin Williams, and it's very funny. But he's just a class act. And me and him, I think he's only been on our show once, and this was years ago. Mm-hmm. But over the years, I've kept in contact with him. You know, he lives a very chaotic life, to say the least. You know, he has so much stuff going on. He's got a lot of stakes in the fire. So, So tell us a little bit else about just and now it's not even the Tiara Talk Show, right? It's the Tammy Tuckey Show.
Yeah, I decided to kind of broaden the horizons because I was doing some other interviews on the side as a separate podcast. And I was like, this is just silly because I have a lot of other loves outside of Disney, not saying that that's, you know, the all be all and end all. And I really wanted to talk to other people from Broadway and also from film and television, different things. So I kind of just went to the Tammy Tuckey Show. And instead of just doing these pre-recorded interviews, which I really did not like editing because I can't stand my own voice, I was like, let's do something like this, StreamYard. Let's do it live. Let's have the listeners, they're now able to ask questions, pull them up on the screen. And it's been such a joy. Like, we just started that in January with the Great Movie Ride reunion with the Imagineers. Oh, and wow. It was so cool to bring, like, I think it was about 12 of us total, and hear all of their stories about, you know, the Great Movie Ride. And they shared some behind the scenes photos. So that was really cool. And then I did a reunion with the Broadway cast of The Goodbye Girl, which was a Marvin Hamlisch, Neil Simon musical with Martin Short and Bernadette Peters that didn't run long, but I just loved it. And they all had great stories about that. So that was other than Disney. So it's been like a mixture of the both, but I love it. You know what I mean? I love that conversation and hearing the stories. It's the best part.
That's fantastic. I love that. Did you say that you started your podcast when you were 14?
Yes. Yes. My first interview was with Helen Reddy for Pete's Dragon because at the time, let's say that was like 2011. So like, if we can, you know, time travel back to that moment, there weren't a lot of female driven podcasts,
right?
Especially in the Disney region of podcasting. And so my friends, Darlene and Danelle and I were just talking and we're like, we should record our conversations because we all have different, you know, themes. I was a teenager, Darlene was a mother, and Danelle was right out of college. So we had three different opinions and we're like, well, let's talk about that. And then we wanted to talk to individuals who were in these films. And I had always suggested to different Disney podcasts, some that are still running, I was like, you should interview this person. And, you know, you'd get radio silence, or they'd be like, we'll add them to the list, wink. And I was like, well, that's not really helping the case. So let's just try interviewing them ourselves. And we got Helen Reddy and we talked to her. It was like the first time anybody had interviewed her about working on Pete's Dragon. I think the only time, because I have not been able to find anything else on that specifically. And then we interviewed Susan Sarandon and Ridley Tyerson and the voices of Aladdin and Jafar. And it was building up to something that was really, really great because you had these conversations that weren't being documented. And, you know, along the way, you know, there were people we were trying to talk to who had passed away during the process of booking an interview. And it made me realize that, you know, we're losing these individuals and we're losing these conversations. So it was just an honor to be able to talk to all of the individuals I talked to and save those conversations for us to listen to later, you know.
That's so fantastic. Pete's Dragon was my favorite movie when I was a little girl. I loved Helen Reddy. My middle name is Dawn, and so my papa used to sing Delta Dawn to me, Helen Reddy's version of Delta Dawn.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look for that episode of that because that just sounds fantastic. What a notch in your cap to get Helen Reddy as your first podcast.
I was nervous.
And you were four. I'm sure you were. But that, first of all, as a woman, as a female, to launch that, as someone at your age to launch that, I just think that is so wonderful, and it gives so much hope to other young females who are wanting to do, you know, go out in the world and do things like you're doing. And I kudos to you. Thank you so much for just braving the way.
Thank you.
I hopped up while y'all were having girl talk.
Sorry.
No, it was fine. No, you guys go right ahead. It's fine. Swazi Searcher over on the YouTube wants to know, how does a 14-year-old start a podcast? Which is a great question, because I was a grown person, and Ed's a little bit older than me, and we were grown people when we started a podcast. And I still get nervous when I have guests on. So I've been doing it for 9 years. So I'm always thinking about how am I going to screw this up tonight? And honestly, then the camera goes out.
Yeah, the camera goes out. And you're like, of course, you know, like when I did my Atlantis reunion, I was trying to get Don Novello, Father Starducci. We were trying to get him, and we couldn't get the internet to work. So unfortunately, I had to hold up my cell phone, and we had to do it. You know, like, it happens. But I think that's the thrill and the fun of working, you know, and just having fun. That's my dad. Hey, Dad. He's watching. Awesome. Hi, Mr. Todd Tucky.
That's awesome.
I listened to his piano playing while you sang. The White Christmas song. And it was lovely. That was such a lovely to see you both together. That's a really nice thing to have together.
We need to do more of those. That was really fun. He's a beautiful piano player. He can play the theme to, oh my gosh. Oh, it's that movie with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour, Somewhere in Time. Oh,
Somewhere in Time. Very
nice.
Here's
a beautiful rendition of it. You would love it.
Other than the personal talent part, I can relate a little bit, because I grew up with my mom always played guitar. My mom's a very good singer. I cannot sing, but we did grow up like in that same type of household, you know, where my mom, that was kind of a night for us, that sitting around the table with my mom playing guitar and all. Yeah. Singing all kind of different songs together. So that's so awesome.
They inspire you, because my mom, my parents were older than the parents of people my age. So a lot of people tell me I have an old soul, you know, because I was brought up, my dad had a projector, like a literal film projector, and would show me the animated cartoons that we would all see, you know, on VHS, but it was the original, you know, 16mm or 8mm. And then my mom would show me Funny Girl and Singing in the Rain and Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. So we love musicals here at the house. So,
and, you know, my mom liked musicals, but she loved music, and it instilled a love of music to me. I mean, I have my mom's albums, and it goes anywhere from like Jackson 5 to Willie Nelson to Jim Croce to like just this broad, very broad, anything from like country to pop to Jimi Hendrix. I mean, it was just like so broad. And now I'm the same way, that I love, like, there's no like one specific genre that I really like. You know, I just have a love for music. I've mentioned this before, but in Epcot, Festival of the Arts has become one of my favorite festivals. We love food and wine, don't get me wrong, but Festival of the Arts, just because of the Broadway singers, being able to go see the Broadway singers, so incredible. And people are so talented. So
they're fantastic. We were there once for it, and we had just hit like the end of it when they just started it. So, oh, I am speaking your movie love language. Well,
that's
good.
That's my wife. So your dad has popped on, and my wife has popped on.
Hi, Kimberly. I know. Kimberly, what's your favorite musical? Put it in the chat, because I want to know.
Oh, I can tell you. Oklahoma.
Really? Interesting. She
was born, I'm in New Orleans. I'm born and raised South Louisiana. She was born in Tulsa and has a love for Oklahoma. She may answer differently, but I think that's going
to be. Oh, I can't wait to see what she says. But if you're right, that's very interesting. I'll go against your Oklahoma with my Seven Brides any day. I love
Seven Brides.
She loves that too. So I don't know. Maybe she likes one brother than the other.
But she wrote Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Oh, there you go.
Damn. How about that?
That's the correct answer, Kimberly.
Yeah, there was no wrong answer.
No wrong answer. You said Singing in the Rain, and my heart did a little pitter-pat.
My first love. That was my first crush ever. I loved him. Just a real, I wish I could have interviewed him. My God.
We need to, me and Kim need to continue on this. Years ago, we started doing all the movies of the Great Movie Ride. We started watching them in order. So we did like Footlight Parade and then Singing in the Rain and Public Enemy. And that, I think we got to the Westerns and Kim faded off, which was my favorite part. You know, I love the Westerns. I love the Clint Eastwoods and the.
The Searchers is depressing. Yeah. Like I watched that as a 14-year-old. I was like, what? They put this in the Great Movie Ride? Wait, what? Because I was like, okay, this is not what I thought.
I love old movies, and for some reason I've set myself a goal for August to watch all John Wayne movies. Every single John Wayne movie.
Oh, there's so many good ones.
There's so many good ones that I have not watched, so that's my August movie watching goal is every John Wayne movie.
And his movies really like span like a, there's more like the big productions that are kind of very pretty, and then there's some that are really dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. There are a ton. There's a Western that we were shown in film class, in college for myself, and it was just so weird, but I loved it. It was very mysterious. It's called, I believe, Long Plains Drifter with Clint Eastwood. Have you ever heard of it?
I have heard of that one.
I think it's really weird. It's High Plains Drifter, I believe.
High Plains. It's been so long, but it was just so weird. Don't read anything about it. Just watch it, and it will make you very uncomfortable. But it's like one of those movies where you're like, you don't know where it's going, and it's a Western. So that's really weird, because usually Westerns follow a pattern. So, but... Oh, Mame, Gene Kelly is my cousin, Morgan.
What? Morgan is one of our...
me over your house.
Morgan is one of our other co-hosts, I have trouble believing Morgan because a couple of weeks ago we were in Disney World and she was telling everybody it was her birthday and it wasn't. Her birthday wasn't for like another 2 weeks. So
it was her pre-birthday. She was
I made sure to point out every time a cast member would tell her happy birthday, I'd be like, well, it's really not. But
Jimmy, the spoiler of fun.
I know. I got to give her, I have to give her a hard time.
And that's cool that somebody you had posted, they taught their daughter to love musicals. That's exactly how you kind of do it. You just, you know, show it. But, oh, yeah, cool. Have I spoken to any of the creators of Horizons? I did get to speak with George Wilkins, and he was the one who created the music. I feel like George really created that ambiance of why Horizons is loved so much is because of the music that really lifts up the project. And then the woman, Corrine Cook, she was the one who's doing the Skype call with her boyfriend in the middle of the ride. So I got to interview her, and she's great. So those are the only two people I think I've only talked to who worked on Horizons. It's been a while. I know, I missed that ride too. No Westerns.
Yeah, that's my wife. I can't. Yeah. She doesn't like Westerns. Did you get a chance to ride Horizons, or is that before your time?
I believe I did, because our first trip was 97 and I think it Horizons closed like 98. I don't remember it, but I listened to a cassette tape of Epcot 80s, all the songs from that. So when I hear those songs like Sally Stevens singing Tomorrow's Child or the original singers of Horizons, I really do feel very nostalgic for that music, but I don't recall experiencing it in the parks, unfortunately. But you know, I always loved it, so it was really cool to cover those songs.
I mean, I'm a little older, so I had gone a couple times while it was open, but you know, I still don't remember. I remember a little bit about it, but you know, it was so long ago. It's still tough to.
But a great idea to have three different endings like that. Oh, that's a cool thing, that was right so there. Cool. That makes you want to go on the ride again.
our friend George, he was just in New York.
Nice. How did it go? I want to know about that. I hear really great things about Broadway's having a craziness over the past 2 days of the new news about Funny Girls. So that's good interesting. My dad says I wrote it, and I was a month shy of two.
Oh.
And I met Dreamfinder. We have a picture. I did meet Dreamfinder walking around right before they took him out from doing that. So what are the odds?
I would That's die. Awesome. Look, I'm even wearing my Figment shirt right now. So I would love to have met Dreamfinder.
I don't remember it. That's the only problem. And that was the first trip. He didn't bring a camera, like a video camera. That was just a regular camera. So
but you do have a photo.
Yeah, just a photo. So
that's,
but,
I mean, that's.
I have to say, cool. Tammy, your version of Tomorrow's Child, I probably listened to 30 times today.
Well, I was going to play a clip of it. And
I couldn't
get it to play on my computer. So I'm just going to play it from my phone into the microphone. So we can hear just a little bit of that.
Thank you.
Oh, I got to turn the volume back up. Not sure. Tomorrow's child, gathering gifts from our past. Tomorrow's child, shaping a world that lasts. Holding the spark as we embark on every journey together. Tammy Tuckey, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God. That is beautiful. I love it.
Thank you. The hardest song on the album. I was so scared that day to record it. I was like, I'm not going to live up to this hype. I'm like, it's because those are the two most precious songs in Epcot, you know? And I'm like, oh man, I hope people don't get mad. Thanks, Morgan. That's, I appreciate
so
it.
Beautiful. So I'm like stuck between my favorite two songs on the album, my favorite songs on the album. Oh, there's so many good ones. You know, me and my wife got married in 2000 and went on our honeymoon to Disney in 2000. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time she had ever been. I had been a couple times as a teenager and as a small child. So Celebrate the Future was still part of Illuminations at the time, you know, and they had the Tapestry of Nations and all that stuff for the Millennium Celebration. That one really is amazing. And and then Tomorrow's Child, and then also, man, Remember the Magic, your version of that is so amazing.
It's just so good.
Thank you.
And then Two Brothers, you know, that
that was a dream right there. And my wife went to Ali Omo, the original singer. I was like, what?
And me and my wife went to Disneyland for the first time this past January. And I didn't realize that was part of the great moments with Mr. Lincoln. But because I've always known it just from American Adventure. But yeah. I mean, obviously, and look, I'm the type of person who wears my sleeve out on, I mean, my heart out on my sleeve. So I'm my wife makes fun of me because she has a very cold heart. But I'm very emotional, and my wife and my daughter aren't. Me and my son are. My daughter and my wife aren't. And so, like, that song during American Adventure, like,
it chokes me up
every time. So, she's usually sleeping. My wife is usually sleeping by that point, so she can't make fun of me.
No. But it's a beautiful song. And yeah, I'd interviewed Ali Omo, and that was the way I was able to call her up. And I said, hey, I'm doing an album, and I'd love to do Two Brothers. And there's an extra verse you didn't get to do for the original show. And would you like to do it? So she recorded her segment in California. I recorded here in Philly, and we merged it. And then Retro WDW Podcast brought us together for their Retro Magic event. We finally met and we performed it live. She actually performed it live for the first time since she recorded it back in 82. So it was just a magical experience, and everybody stood up and clapped for it. It was unbelievable. It was like one of the most magical performances ever.
That's so awesome.
And no, I don't. I would love to. I would love to do a Christmas album, but I have another album coming up. So,
I want to bring that up. So, the album you have now, which came out in 2018, is You'll Find Me on Main Street.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we have a title for the new album yet?
I have to get it approved by Disney, but I have a title.
So, and you have a hot-centric title.
So, when
working
you hear
title.
I can't say what it is. Yes.
Until it's approved by Disney.
Yeah. But it, I think you guys will like it because it is Epcot themed title.
Yay!
And how many tracks are we thinking on this one?
So we're going to have 10. So we went from 7 to 10. And then one of them will be an original song written by me because I write songs too. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're going to do 9 songs from the Disney theme parks and then one original song. And I have some things cooking. I've been working on it for the past 2 days. So I'm so excited.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear it.
You are currently in the phase of raising money for the project.
Yes, on Indiegogo. We'll still be able to. We raised the goal of $10,000, which was amazing. And anybody who's watching who donated, thank you. And throughout the rest of the next, I think about 6 months, we'll be able to accept additional donations. And you can get a perk. So some people who just want to get a copy of the digital album, if you just donate, you know, $20, you get that digital copy when it comes out in April 2023. Or if you're looking to get a t-shirt and a signed poster and a physical copy of the album and a digital copy, you can donate $100. So there's like different perks that you can choose leading up to us releasing it until the end of the year. So it's on Indiegogo. If you search Tammy Tuckey, or you can go to my website at tammytuckey.com, and the button's right there, and you can donate and be a part of the magic. And if you do donate, your name will be on the inside cover of the little booklet that will be with the CD. Awesome. So I made that decision today. I was like, we got to do something special for everybody who is a part of this, because it really does take a great amount of people to make something like this possible. Because it's really just me doing, you know, the producing and the recording and stuff. But it was so great that so many people were like, we want an album, and we made it happen with the goal. So that was just fantastic.
Wow, that's great.
We did send over a little money from the Disney Nerds podcast.
Yes, thank you for the donation. I saw, I was like, oh, thank you guys.
And if I can get Morgan's watching. Morgan, if you can go to Tammy's website and grab the Indiegogo link and post it here in the notes, in the comments for us. So if anybody wants to click and donate some money, help Tammy make it the best possible album. So and Bill's always a jokester. So he says, I'll have to get it approved by Disney. It's kind of a weird name for an album, but it's just quirky enough to work.
Actually, you know what, Bill? Maybe I might just go with that. It's a whole thing. And I don't blame them, because they just want to make sure everybody is not tarnishing the image. And it's totally fine. And they're very nice. They're trying to look for certain songs, because my song, it's not the typical let's just do Let It Go and Moana and Mary Poppins. We're looking at songs that meant something to us, but are very niche. So like the last album, for instance, the one song that was very hard for them to find, because the problem is, to cover the songs, they have to have been officially released on an album, on something, you know, on a DVD. Because
it can't
movie.
Be licensed without that, right?
Correct. So the one song that they had a really hard time, I think it was like about 2 months of them looking, was the Doug song from Doug Live. Behind me. And it was Someone Like Me. And it came out with the movie, Doug's first movie, but they couldn't find that it was released as a CD until they found that it was released in Canada. So it counted.
Oh, so good.
So I was like, oh, great. So there are about 4 songs that they're currently trying to find for me to see if they work. And that's like half the album right there. So, you know, and it's hard, but I think I provided them with enough information to be like, they were officially released, I promise. So we'll see.
So what is your favorite Disney song, just overall, your go-to?
Like parks or film or?
Overall.
Overall? Oh my gosh.
That's so hard, right? Because you've got a favorite park song and you have a favorite film song.
All right, let's break it down. All right. So favorite, let's break it down. I'm going to give you, we're going to invoke the Sam rule here. Sam's not here, but... Sam's our other, we had a bunch of co-hosts. We've been around for a long time, so we get people that come in all the time. So Sam can never give us one answer to anything. Yeah. That's it's like always going to be, well, I really like this, but I like this one too. So
exactly.
We'll invoke the Sam rule and let you give more than one answer on that and break it down into categories.
Well, I would say, like, for film-wise, the one that really hits me and makes me very nostalgic is Just Around the River Bend from Pocahontas, because Disney sing-along tapes were what really also inspired me to sing. And I just, when I hear it, when I hear the beginning, for like just the beginning notes of it, I'm transported back to putting my VHS tape in the player and watching it, you know? So I love that one. And a theme park song, I really enjoy. I'm going to choose one that's just an instrumental and one that's a true song. The instrumental that I love, that I really miss hearing, is the ending part of Spaceship Earth in 1994, the Jeremy Irons one, where you're coming down backwards and then there's that beautiful city display overview, and then there's this majestic music playing, and I love that instrumental. It's just beautiful. So I'm really miss hearing that in the parks. And I really do love Tomorrow's Child. I think Tomorrow's Child is one of the songs that like really it hits me hard when I'm like, oh, I just, when I hear it, I'm like, oh, it's just beautiful. It's fantastic in its orchestration, and Sally Stevens singing it, she's just spot on. And then you have the kids choir, and it's magical. So those are probably the three that I would choose. Right. Sorry, Charlotte, for cheating, but
I'm gonna let you give me yours too, Charlotte, and I'll also give mine.
So my favorite Disney movie is Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, really? Good. Probably one of the most underrated Disney films of all time.
And when the song keys up, I immediately burst into tears. I can't help it. Every single time I hear it, I am going to cry. I love it so much. It touches my heart in such a way that the story needs a whole nother show. But the song from
the maid in these small hours.
I love it so much. So the song from Illuminations, We Go On.
Oh my gosh, brilliant pick. Yes,
I cannot hear that enough. Like, I could listen to that song a million times a day and it still would not be enough.
Beautiful song. And Kelly, I interviewed the lead singer, Kelly Coffey. She amazing singer.
Who's a country music singer too? She made a career in country music.
And performed with Barbara Streisand for her Millennium concert, which is really cool because I watch that concert all the time.
But music wise, I love sitting in the hub and just hearing the Main Street music, the Dapper Dans in the background, just the hub music is just such a happy, happy feeling. I can't wait till tomorrow because I'm going to sit there with my corn dog and listen to hub music.
The perfect thing to do, man. Perfect. I had my little corn dog bits when I was there in April, and I was just sitting at Casey Corner. I'm like, I'm living the life, y'all.
Exactly.
And for me, I would say movie music has got to be Go the Distance.
Oh, yes.
Like when that comes on, like when it's included in like one of like the Magic Kingdom fireworks shows, something like that. And when they play that, and it's like my heart swells. Like, it's just like, it's just such an inspiration. And then similar to yours, and it's also Kelly Coffey, but I like Promise.
Mm. Yes, Promise was such a tune as well, too.
And they're kind of, I don't want to say too similar, but, you know, they kind of got a lot of the same type of feel to them. They're not completely different. So
similar lyrics, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And it just, it's a nice song to kind of like, you know, you're settling down from the fireworks. It's not like, you know, hitting at you hard. It's beautiful.
Tammy, have you heard of the House of Mouse Expo?
No, I heard of the show House of Mouse. That was the cartoon I watched all the time as a kid. But you had
brought up Pocahontas, and this year, so House of Mouse Expos, our friend Scott Michelle Atwood from the Main Street Mouse started last year in November, and it's basically like a comic con, but it's all Disney related.
Oh, nice!
And they're bringing back a second one. Yeah, it's in Orlando, right outside the parks. And they're doing it again this year, in January.
That's awesome. And
Irene Bedard, who was the actress, she didn't do the singing voice, right?
She was the speaking voice of Pocahontas.
There was another movie. There was two like that.
There was a sequel too.
Oh, and Mulan, though. Mulan was the same way. Ming-Na Wen did the speaking voice for Mulan, but Judy Kern did
did Pocahontas, and then Lea Salonga did Mulan and Jasmine.
Oh, and Jasmine. I knew there was one that did. Yeah. She did two voices. So, but they got a really good cast. I'm going to get you the information.
Please, because, I would love to. Maybe I can promote my album when I'm down there.
Well, yes. I was about to say we just talked about we're going to run a booth there, so maybe that would be worth it for you to go down and get a booth and sell some albums and meet some people.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So far, and we're going to be having them on maybe next week. I'm not sure yet. But so far, their special guests include Kevin McNally.
Oh, yeah, from Pirates of the Caribbean. I interviewed him, too. He's a gentle
And Martin Kleba, who's also from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, Marty.
Jason Marsden, who was there last year.
Jason's very sweet. He's the voice of Max, right? Max Goof. Max Goof. That's the James.
And in the cat in Hocus Pocus.
Yes, Binks. Zachary Binks.
Brett Iwan's going to be there.
Brett's really great. Yeah, he's awesome.
And Lee Ehrenberg, also from Pirates and Once Upon a Time.
I loved him on Once Upon a Time. Mm-hmm. I wish they had done more with him as Grumpy.
As Grumpy, yes. Yeah.
So, it would have been so good with him as Grumpy. He was such a perfect Grumpy.
So far, that's the guest that they have announced for the 2023.
That's pretty cool.
It was really good. I mean, we really had a good time last year, and it was a lot of fun and a lot of really good Disney artists. Not so much music though. So I think, man, you could probably
come in.
You're like, hey guys, you want to have an album?
So yeah, exactly. sign some albums. I mean, that might be able to sell a few CDs there.
That would be cool. I would love to do anything like that. I'm all for it.
I'll get you the information and get you connected with that would be great. Michelle and Scott for sure.
I think I remember their website. This is like prior to the early maybe 2013, because I remember reading their articles. It's so interesting because over the years you're like, I know that name because I knew them like 10 years ago and I was like a kid and obsessed with listening to the podcasts and reading the blogs. You know what I mean? Like it was such a different time, right?
Yeah,
discussion boards and gosh, it was just so cool.
We had a booth there last year and it was a lot of fun just to go there and hand out buttons very nice and in the stuff Disney like community. That it was so much fun. We had an after hours party. It was a pleasure island themed after hours party that they did, and it was
nice.
It was really cool. So
I'll definitely consider that. That would be fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. So I'll get you more information on that. Tell me a little bit about the process of making an album.
I had to learn by myself
from the beginning, right?
Yeah, in 2018, because I just graduated college, so I'm like 21 at that time. So I was like, okay, how do I do this? Because everybody kept saying, you know, you should record and cover songs. So I found you have to distribute the song. So first, if you're starting from the beginning, you have to get your list together. You have to email Disney the list. They have to approve of it, and then they have to approve the name of your name of your album, and the visuals. So just so you're not doing anything copyrighted. So that's like the beginning steps, and you can't really go further than that. So that's where I am right now. That's the point I'm at right now. When everything's approved, then I worked with a musician, James Clark, who's over in the UK, and he created these beautiful instrumentals for me, just absolutely beautiful. And so I worked with him to send him the music and said, hey, you know what I mean? Could you cover these songs? And he would send me what he worked on. And then we would kind of like, you know, figure out what would, you know, what worked and what needed to be fixed. And once we got the tracks the way I would like them to sound, make sure they sound the best, because obviously this is just in a medium where you're hearing it only. There's no visual. So you better make sure it's good.
Right.
So that at least that's how I feel, because I want to put 110% into something, you know what I mean? So if it costs a little bit more, oh well. You know what I mean? Just to make it sound great. So after he creates the instrumentals, recording studio time, it takes about 2 to 3 hours to probably record a song, especially if I want to layer it. So like the Strangers Like Me from Tarzan, where I did that song specifically because I love Tarzan Rocks. That one is layered with multiple voices of me in different harmonies. So sometimes it takes a little bit longer It depends, but I prep way before I go to the studio because you're running on time and money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you want to get in there and get it done. So that's what I kind of did for that, for the album. And once you do that, then you work on the mastering, which is just listening to it and making sure, like, I don't want to use, you know, auto tune or anything like that. I just want it to be, you know, sounding on pitch, obviously. So I want to perform it the best I can and then mastering it so it sounds just perfect enough for you guys to hear it. And then from there, it's kind of exported out into the universe through one of those servers, those websites. And that's it. It's basically it sounds a lot easier because I'm breaking it down a little bit more simpler, but it's all me by myself. I have no help except for the wonderful instrumentals James made. You know what I mean? Like, he did a great job in the recording studio I worked with. They did a great job recording me, but I'm kind of putting it all together myself.
That's amazing.
So do you have to pay Disney for the rights to use the music?
It's a royalty payment. Yeah. Written down somewhere. I don't know what it costs. It's not like it's a big amount. Because it was just a digital album, it was all taken care of by the server that I had. So they took care of that. But
so they take out
not Disney. A Disney song.
Every
so
time it's played, they take out Disney's portion and handle it between them and Disney.
Yes. And then, from what I know. I yeah. And the gotcha. Songwriters and everybody. So,
gotcha,
but you
gotcha.
Know, it, I broke even probably like 2 years ago with the album because I really pretty much put in all of it, except for about $2,000 I did raise for GoFundMe. But, you know, that all went into the Celebrate the Future Hand in Hand with Sounds of Blackness because you have all those singers and a lot of recording studio time. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's very difficult, you know, to put something like this together. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to do Indiegogo and see if people would like to support and, you know, we'll get something going.
You know, and I don't want to, I mean, and I don't want to compare that to podcasting in any way, but I mean, it's similar in that it's kind of a labor of love and it's not,
yes,
it's not really
paid for it.
Right. It's not the money. I mean, people that all the time, like, you know, we have a few sponsors, but that's like, that just goes in to help and cover some of the costs. It does nobody.
Exactly. The website handle, hosting it.
The host charges and all the other stuff. I mean, it's
absolutely a labor of love. And and to just to know that people really like it, because I get tweets and emails randomly, and it's so thrilling that people really enjoy it. So I'm just happy.
Awesome.
Swansea Searcher wants to know, when did you realize this is what your calling was? That's a great question.
I love to sing and perform. So when I was a kid when I was a kid at Disney, I loved the performers just dancing and singing. I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be Ariel in Voyage of the Little Mermaid. I want to be Belle in the Beauty and the Beast live on stage. You know what I mean? I want to do hoop-de-doo. So I was like, I'll do any of it. And my dad has footage of me right before a castle show or whatever. And I bring kids up with me and be like, la 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 la, and do our own little show and take bows before the stage show would begin. Like, it was just ridiculous. But I love just performing and being up on a stage. It's just so much fun. So this is probably what I was too. I don't know about the album part. The album was just like an idea, and I was like, that would be cool to do an album and have fun, you know, creating it and doing something that people really like and that's not usually touched. Like, I don't know anybody else who does really true covers all the time of the park music, right?
Yeah,
again, it's just the Let It Go's multiple.
Oh, yeah. You hear the, and a lot of them Disney produces, but you hear those all the time. I mean, there's like the guitar versions of all these songs, and then there's the piano version of all these songs, and there's the wedding
version. Then there's a saxophone version of all these songs.
A country version of the songs. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
For sure. Did you ever work for Disney? College program or anything?
No, I was going to do the college program, and what I thought it was not what it was going to be. Like, I thought it was like, oh, I'll just go up on stage and do hoop-de-doo. Ha 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 ha. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what it was. So I decided not to. I think it was best that way because I got in and out of college. I graduated early because I wasn't a college girl. I just wanted to go and learn and then kind of go out there into the world and work and perform. So
I mean, and we love the performers. I mean, we're fairly good friends with Yeehaw Bob. I don't know if you've seen him before.
Yeah, I love Yeehaw Bob.
He's been on the show a couple times, and we also love Miss Carol Stein, that plays at the Rose and Crown. Do you know Miss Carol?
What's her last name? Carol
Stein.
Carol Stein. Yes, yes, I know her. Yeah.
She I think she started at the Comedy Club, and then eventually went to the Grand Floridian as a pianist, and then now she's at, well, since COVID she hasn't been there, but she was at the Rose and Crown for a long time, and that's where I think most people know her from is Rose and Crown Pub.
She's so talented. I see the videos all the time. I'm like,
she's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So we've gotten to know them, and we love. I mean, we just love all the performers. It's just so fantastic.
And we've been lucky because my dad filmed all of our trips except the very first one. Some of the interviews I've done are with people who are on the tapes as the characters. So I got to interview when I met Meg from Hercules at the studios. The person who was playing her was 21 at the time. And then I got to interview her when she was just about to become a mom herself. And it was really, really cool because she really didn't have a lot of footage of her as Meg. So, and it was just really, and that was only because I knew some people who knew some people who knew her, you know what I mean? And that was all because of the podcast. So I've interviewed a lot of people who have appeared on our own videotapes.
What is her name?
Her name's Emma. Yeah, she was on my live show. So if you want to want to take out the 10-hour live broadcast I did last summer, was in August. there's a timestamp, but her name is Emma Jacobs. So, and she was also in Tarzan Rocks too. She met her husband, I think, on that because they were awesome. Monkeys. They were doing those crazy stunts.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You ever get any backlash for covering? I'm not sure what he means exactly by that, but
I know. Surprisingly, I've never, and I should knock on wood, I haven't heard anything bad.
Good. Good. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, yes. Let's keep it that way. So far, so good.
So what do you think? Go ahead, Charlotte.
Sorry. I think one reason or one thing that you may not be hearing, I don't want you to have any backlash, but you're not covering Let It Go. You're not covering Tale as Old as Time. You're covering, like you said, songs that play in our heart that we don't get to hear all the time over and over again. And I don't think we can hear those songs enough, you know? Yeah. So,
well, that's it. Those are really the songs. Like, I like the Disney movies. But the park music is just so nostalgic, and that's what really like brings you back and kind of warms your heart. The movie stuff's great, but the park music that you don't hear everywhere else
is the ambiance. They do it the best, you know, and that's why I was so sad when they didn't release their 50th anniversary like a CD set, right? Because they did that for the Cinderbration in 2005. That was the last big one that they did, and I listened to that CD nonstop. I just loved it. You know what I mean? I listened to it nonstop. And so I didn't understand that. And I was like, well, maybe it's a good time to do an album now because it is the 50th and will be my own tribute. If Disney ain't going to do it, I'll do it.
So what do you think the timeline is now? Or is there just no way really to know?
Well, my goal, the goal that I have on Indiegogo is to release by April 2023. If we could release earlier, that would be great, but I'd rather give it more time so we have time to make it the best it can be. And so right now I'm just waiting on Disney because I can't really get started without their approval and findings of the songs. So hopefully it doesn't take any longer. They're supposed to get back to me by like next week. So, and then, but I have everybody on board. I have a lot of surprises that are already in store. With some people who might be singing with me on the album, which you guys will really love. I can't announce anything yet, but if you do donate to Indiegogo or you follow me, I will be announcing things along the way. I will continue updating everybody through Indiegogo. It sends out like an email when I send out an update. So when I have news of the name of the album, I want to make a big to-do about that. You know what I mean? When I have the news about the official track list, like I can officially announce it, you know, I want to do something like that. I have a lot of surprises for sure.
We like surprises.
Love surprises. And this, it sounds like it's going to be great. So
I'm excited. I just get nervous though, because like sometimes I'm like, I hope this medley that's playing in my head will work out and people will like hearing what I have to, what I hear in my head.
from what I've listened to on your first album, I have like no doubts.
Exactly. Same.
Oh, it's so nerve wracking because you're like, you want to live up to the hype because everybody's like, well, we want another Tomorrow's Child New Horizon.
Well, that, I mean, that's true. You did kind of set the bar high. So now you got to step it up a little bit.
Yes. But I know the to do's and the to don'ts, basically, for this time around. And I'm like, thank God. So I know what's going to happen. And I know how I can make it even better because, you know, even I criticize things that I've done in the past and I'm actually really proud of the album. You know, I hear things and I'm like, oh, I wish I could have done that over again, but don't we all? So
yeah. Sure. I mean, that's what grabbed me was that when Jerry shared it and it was that video attached and I'm looking at the video and I'm listening to the music. I'm like, holy cow, this is like, this is just amazing. Like, it's so incredible. And then, so that
James
led
is
me
amazing.
To, that
he
led
has
me to
great tracks.
Oh my God. So it was so good. So good.
And I'm working with him again. James Clark is coming back to do the music. And also another friend of mine, Josh, he's going to do some of the tracks too. He has brilliant instrumentals. He found me through my album and I'm so glad he did because his music is great too. He works on the Disney Cruise Lines and performs. So
George wants to know if you're going to have duets with Elton John and Phil Collins.
Can't announce yet.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be amazing?
It probably depends on how much money you send to her on Indiegogo.
Yeah. Or if we have somebody who's best friends with either of them, I would totally pull totally. Out like a festival of the Lion King.
Absolutely.
For Elton John, or that would be really cool. But no. And I did see, did I take years of voice lessons? I took about probably like 2 years of voice lessons, but it was more of me at home listening to Barbra Streisand and Judy Garland and Meet Me in St. Louis.
I love
Meet Me in St. Louis. It's the best.
It is so the good. Best. I just watched it a few days ago. I was feeling a little low. It was because Judy Garland's birthday was June 10th.
Yes.
And so they were having a Judy Garland thing on TCM. And I recorded every single movie that was on there. And I have watched Meet Me in St. Louis twice now.
I released a cover on her birthday of The Boy Next Door. You'll have
to
listen to it.
I will
listen
to it.
It was so much fun.
I love that.
But like,
sorry.
I would listen to. No, you're fine. I love. We got a fangirl later because I love Meet Me in St. Louis. Like, I have my CD, DVD, and CD. But I like to listen to their tones and I like to recreate how they sound. So sometimes I like to kind of do that, and I think that has helped me with learning how to sing properly and take the proper breaths that I need. And I've done musical theater since 2004. So, you know, I've learned a lot for sure. I've worked with great, you know, talented people, and I hope to continue to do that. So
that's fantastic.
That's great. I love that.
And my pitch is perfect. You are so sweet. Thank you. That's very kind of you. To me, it's not, because I hear myself. I don't know what it is, but if you hear your own voice, it just is killer. I can't.
I still can't. It still bothers me. Not even singing, just listening to our podcast.
Yes.
And just hearing yourself talk, it's just so bizarre. And
it's hard. Because
you don't sound anything like you think you sound.
Oh, yeah. You were like, this is not good. But I can tell you, I'm glad I did get to edit myself and my podcast, because 14-year-old sounding me is way different than what I sound like now. And I learned.
I listen back to myself and I go, oh, I really do have an accent.
Oh, you definitely do.
And sometimes my Philly accent pops out and I'm like, I don't know where that came from. Sorry.
Do you say water?
Yeah, water.
Water.
Water. Did you get it? Yeah, Wawa.
Ed says crown. Water instead of water. Water.
Yeah. It's the way. Kate Winslet doesn't like speaking that way because of her show. She's like, it's a horrible accent. She's like, the hardest one I've had to learn. But, you know, it's cool. It's cool to see Bradley Cooper, because, like, I have the biggest crush on him. And he used to live near our church. So so it's just funny to hear him on the shows, because he kind of has wiped that out from his repertoire.
He's trained himself to just speak more clearly.
Yes. But he's a Philly boy all the way because I hear him talk about it all the time in his interviews. I'm like, yay, represent us.
That's good. It's good stuff. I like
Morgan
it.
Morgan is joining us on our fangirl session because she also loves Meet Me in St. Louis. So,
Morgan O'Brien is still alive. I've been trying to do an interview with her for so long. Margaret O'Brien, the little girl in it. I would love to interview her about being on that set. I can't even imagine. Like, that just... Oh. But yes.
So we mentioned House of Mouse, but we didn't mention the Disney Nerds Podcast annual meetups that are coming in November.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and these are at the parks?
These are... So the first one is at Splitsville in Disney Springs. It's like a premium paid event where we have like an open bar and drinks and food and all that. Oh, nice. And then the second one's at Epcot for food and wine. It's what we call a sampleathon. Because it started because it was marathon weekend. And yes. our slogan is we don't run, we stroll.
And we sample. So instead of a marathon, we start on one side
and we sample our way all the way to halfway. So it's a half sampleathon. and we get to America and watch whatever concert is going on, and then watch and then watch the fireworks together. And then Saturday is our scavenger hunt.
Oh, okay.
And our scavenger hunts are on point. Ed, our other podcast co-host, Philadelphian.
Well, actually, he's from Jersey, but he lives in Philly now.
Educator. He puts together the most amazing scavenger hunts. You will walk away knowing something new, knowing a lot of new things.
I would love that.
Because his research is impeccable. They are hard and they are good.
Pretty incredible. This is our ninth year. And actually, Charlotte came to our first one. Mm-hmm. 9 years ago, and you weren't even part of the show. Where are you at that time?
I wasn't part of the show yet.
You and your friends came. Y'all were there.
That's awesome.
Actually, I think other than me, Ed, and Sam, everybody else that has joined the show since then is probably because they met us at a meetup.
Over
the years, we just get to be friends with, because that's how Lisa ended up.
That's how all of this started. Like, I think a lot of the Disney fans, a lot of podcasts started doing the meetups. And some of my good friends are from like way back in the day when I met them when I was 14.
Meetups.
Because they all thought I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
And I get some people, you know, that are like friends on Facebook and stuff. And I invite them to the meetups and stuff, and they're a little bit apprehensive because they're locals and they're by themselves. And I'm like, look, like these are so easy to go to because you already have like this common ground with all of these people.
Yeah.
You know, we're all there. We're all Disney fans, and it's all, you know, so it, you go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just go, and it's so fun. And so if my wife can do it, who gets really nervous in social situations, but now she's just like a pro because she knows the vast majority of the people that come, she knows. So,
I love you, Kim.
She loves them now. I mean, but the first few, it's like, what do you mean we're going to meet some people we don't know? I'm like, well, I don't know. I get
nervous too about that. But like, it's a very lovely group. I feel like Disney fans, I think we get a bad rep on Twitter because we do get a little bit of some temper tantrums happening. Mm-hmm. But in person, I was just at the Retro Magic panel in April, and there's like 300, 400 people, and getting to meet so many people, and everybody was so sweet, very, very kind and courteous and very caring. And it was, like George Wilkins, who wrote New Horizons, and we brought him down to be there to talk and talk about his songs and stuff. Drinks help. That's right, Kimberly. But he got to meet all these people. It was the coolest thing to see this long line of people meeting. And he didn't think anybody wanted to see him. And I'm like, George, your work is so popular. So they were all so sweet and kind with him. And he was just thrilled. And he got to sign all the stuff. Those are the moments that are very special. And I feel like that's the type of thing I love to do. So I'm glad you guys are still doing meetups, because I don't think a lot of people do that much anymore.
Not as much as I think at one time, but that's the highlight of our year every year. And I think part of it is that we're all from, you know, across the country. So that's the one time a year where we all kind of migrate on Walt Disney World and all get to hang out together, but then also have everybody else that we're friends with kind of come join us too. So it's a lot of fun. It really is.
That would be cool. If I can make it out, I'd love to. I'm going to the expo first. So
I'll send you the information.
Are you going to D23?
I am. I'll be there.
I'll You're meet going? You there.
Good. That's please, awesome. Charlotte, because I'm not going to be able to survive this by myself.
I'll definitely touch base because I am so looking forward to it. I haven't been in, I guess the last one was 18, something like that.
So you were at the most recent one because the last one I was at was at the 2015 because I helped with the Goofy movie panel.
Oh, and, okay.
That was so much fun, but that was the last one I went to. So I can't wait for what, I don't know what's going to happen, but I usually just go there to be out on the floor to meet with, you know, other Disney fans and then mm-hmm. to meet the talent at their own booths, you know, right. I mean, I just want to meet them in person. So that's what I go for.
I am so excited. So I'm glad to know I have a friend that's going to be there. So
when is the D23?
September the
9th to the
11th.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So if you guys are down there, we'll say hi.
Charlotte I won't be, but sounds like Charlotte will be. And I bet if I had to guess, Sam will probably be there.
I think Sam's going to be there.
We'll make sure we get a picture.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
If anything.
And I'll send you the information for the meetups in November.
Perfect.
And then I'll also send you the information for the House of Mouse. And get you connected with Scott and Michelle too.
Perfect. So we've gone just to them in so long, so that would be just great.
About an hour, which is usually how long we go. I have one final question
that I
ask everybody, or I try to remember to ask everybody that we interview, because we are the Disney Nerds podcast. What makes Tammy Tuckey a Disney nerd? Like, what sparked that in you? It sounds like it was your dad, but
I think it was that first trip to Disney World. I think it made my mom, my dad, and I we were so excited, and we went back only 6 months later. So, you know what I mean? We were back, and then that was it. And my sister, it wasn't her choice, but she was brought up since the baby, because her first trip was when she was 9 months old. And so, you know, we just love it. I think it's from that first moment being in the parks, and also the music. I think the music really is something that I play incessantly. I have all the music I can think of on my phone. So the music in the parks is truly what makes me a Disney nerd. And it makes me appreciate all the hard work that went into music, the songs, and making these attractions that we love and we'll Absolutely. Ride like countless times.
I think that's so true. And sometimes I stand around in Disney and I see these people dragging their kids around and they're just so focused on getting from point A to point B that they never really stop and really
enjoy
mm-hmm. all the little details that
in
are there
the moment.
And that what separates
the phones
Disney
out
from, yeah and
although my dad had a camera, that was considered the phone back in the day. But again, like that was something that was very nice to have. But having the phone out, just playing games and texting, like I try to keep my phone away when I'm there. And I only pull it out if I need to take a picture.
Right. Yeah. And then, I mean, also just trying to investigate a little bit, walking down the side streets and the little alleys and the little nooks and crannies and kind of investigating all the little details that are there that separate Disney from every other, you know, amusement park.
Exactly.
It's all those little details. And so,
there's moments that will come and you're not even expecting it. So like, for instance, like one story I have really quickly is like one night we were at Magic Kingdom and we just got out from the Pirates of the Caribbean ride and it's completely dark. And it's just, there's like really nobody around, which was weird. And all of this music from the movie was playing and it was like epic. So we were kind of like, and then we made our way over to where Swiss Family was. And guess what? The Dole Whip stand was still open. So we got a Dole Whip. So we just sit there eating the Dole Whip, listening to the epic music and just enjoying it. Like those are the really fun moments that come out of it when your phone is away, when you're enjoying each other's company. And it's just, it's magical. There's nothing that can compare. Because everybody asks me, why do you keep going down every 30 times you've been to Disney?
We always get that question. Yeah.
It's like, it's what I love. So why do you keep going to the beach? because you love it.
Exactly. That's why I moved here. I mean, not all of the reason why I moved here, but it has a large part. I'm 15 minutes from my driveway to Epcot's parking lot.
Shut up, Charlotte. Quit rubbing it in.
Charlotte.
God dog it.
I think you're just inviting everybody who's watching over for a sleepover at this point.
Yeah,
so
come on. We can go to Epcot tomorrow.
We're going to watch Meet Me in St. Louis and then go to Epcot.
I love it.
I thought I was supposed to have a guest room. I don't know whatever happened.
It's still there. It's right over there for you.
Tammy, thank you so much for joining us. We truly, truly appreciate it. It was an honor. You're so great.
This was fun.
I'm gonna make sure I send a link to Jerry Reese, our mutual friend, and because I'm sure he would love it. And I think Ed's going to grab the audio from this and turn it into our audio podcast for either this week or next week. And so
I'll
once
share
that happens,
like crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll,
hopefully, if I have more news about the album, if you'd like me to come back, I'd love
to. Oh, no, you're definitely going to have to come back.
And we'll definitely give you more secrets and stuff as we go.
Yay.
Even if you don't have news, we may just.
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
We're going back to Great Movie Ride, guys. Yeah, it's a full circle.
You don't know. You didn't know it, but we're family now, see? So you're a Disney nerd now, so.
Official.
Official.
Well, good luck. Keep us posted on the album. I'm sure you and Charlotte will all be chatting.
Yes, in the
meantime, but keep us updated with anything going on with the album, and we'll make sure we share that out and try and promote it the best we can.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah, that would be great. And I see everybody saying, you know, hope to see you soon and thanks. Good luck with the album. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
It's so exciting. I mean, it's just so exciting.
I know.
And now you got secrets, and now I'm wondering.
It's so hard to keep these secrets. I don't want to, but I have to.
Yeah.
And it'll make it all the more magical in the end. Let's just say that.
All right. Well, thank you again. And
thank you so much,
we'll see
Sammy.
You soon. Hey, guys. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. We appreciate you. Thank you, Mr. Tucky. If it wasn't for you, tonight could not be possible.
Exactly.
And my mom. Don't forget to credit my mom.
She's
a little important too.
Top lever? No, I'm just kidding.
You too, Mrs. Tucky. So
absolutely.
Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next Tuesday on the
Thank
Disney Nerd Podcast live show. Bye, Nuit Les Gens. Good night, people.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.